This is the week of February 5th, and the music of Chrissy Cochran. Hi there. Welcome back to another edition of the Marlena program, right here at the Mainstream on ACB Radio. We're here this time every week, so I'm looking forward to having you come in, sit down, take your shoes off, put your feet up, get your favorite beverage, and just get comfortable with us for the next 2 hours. We'll be taking your calls at 866-666-7926, and we want to hear about whatever's on your mind. So come on in and give me a call, won't you? Right here on Marlena. Well, good evening, everyone in North America, and good morning to everyone in UTC land, across the pond, under the earth, wherever you may be. I am Marlena. I will be with you for the next 2 hours here on ACB Radio Mainstream. And let's get some details ironed out first and then bring in our guest. If you're listening to this program at any time other than 5 to 6 in the West, 8 to 9 in the East, or Monday morning 1 to 2 Universal, you're listening to a repeat, and we'd like you to put your feet up and enjoy, because I think it's going to be a great show. If you are hearing us live during that time frame, be sure to give us a call when I let you know that the phones are open. The telephone number is in your title bar if you're listening through Winamp, but it is 866-666-7926. It is always a joy for me to get to spend time with our guest, but as my friend and as the president of the American Council of the Blind, but tonight it's going to be additionally interesting because we're going to hear from Chris Gray, who is going to talk to us a bit about his new endeavors, his new career. I find it fascinating. Let's bring him on in. Hey, Chris, welcome to Marlena.
Thank you, Marlena. How are you doing this evening?
Well, you know, I'm battling a cold.
Oh, no.
I know. So if I push the cough button, you'll just have to talk for me.
Okay, that sounds fine. Yeah, Marlena's been battling a cold down here, too.
Oh, my gosh. I just got over one, and now one's coming back.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm not battling a cold, although I did battle the cold being on the East Coast last week. My gosh, the weather's bad back there.
Yeah. They had a nice early part to their winter, but I think they're making up for it now.
They're definitely making up for it. I flew through Pittsburgh on my way home on Friday, and the jetway was so covered with ice, believe it or not, they had to put blankets down.
Oh my!
They'd let people walk on it.
Oh my gosh, that's pretty bad.
I have never seen that in all the years I've traveled.
Wow, that is pretty bad. That is really bad. Well, now you issued an announcement toward the beginning of January.
Yes.
That certainly caught the attention of quite a number of folks because it looked like you had left your employ at Symantec and we're off to do new and interesting things. What's up with that?
Well, it's a bit of a long story, and if I get too long-winded about it, I know you'll tell me.
But me never.
I used to work in the adaptive technology field, and I loved the field. But there was a time in the late 80s into the 90s when the field was contracting. I had some issues with some directions of the field at that time that I was concerned about, and at the same moment, an opportunity came to me to start a different kind of career at being a technical writer, and it seemed like a great opportunity. I wanted to pursue it. I wanted to get back, to be honest, for at least a time to working, as we often say, in the sight of the world, and I felt that would probably better equip me to do adaptive technology work, and it just seemed like like the right thing for me to do in my life at that time. So in 1988, I left the field of adaptive technology and was fortunate enough to be able to go to work and be trained by and help to grow through the IBM Corporation. I stayed with IBM for many years, went to Oracle for many years, the makers of probably the best database in the world. Moved on from there to a .com because I kind of wanted to experience a .com. And it was the real experience. I often tell people, you know, we have this beautiful non-infrastructure, a big old barn of a floor and a building and card tables and all the things you think about regarding .com. And we thought we might have this idea of a problem that was going to get to be a big problem. It wasn't that big in 1999. It was serious, but not huge. That was the problem of email spam.
Oh, yes.
Well, who today doesn't see it as a problem?
Oh, my gosh. They would have to live in a cave.
That's right. But, you know, I really asked myself when I left Oracle, and Marv Lynn about killed me when I left Oracle. I had a nice office there and a window, and the benefits were great, and the bonuses were good and everything. And I went to work on what, she said. But, you know, I really had to ask myself, is spam a big enough problem to support a .com company? Well, we grew and grew over the years, and Symantec, known primarily by consumers for Norton Antivirus and the various other Norton tools, purchased that little .com called Brightmail in the spring of 2004 for $370 million.
Wow.
It was quite a ride, I can tell you. We're their biggest single money maker today within the corporation. And I had the pleasure, after getting into Symantec, of working with, as my vice president, the first programming engineer Peter Norton ever hired for Norton as a private company, and many, many other great people. And it's been fun. It's been wonderful. I've enjoyed the field of writing. I've always liked to write. I enjoyed tech writing. I probably would never have learned many of the things that I have learned about technology. But in 2007, and actually for some months before, to be perfectly candid, I knew that I really wanted more than anything else to get back into adaptive technology. I knew what I wanted to do. I'd worked on it to some extent beforehand. And with the buyout of Brightmail and some pretty good success that I've had at Symantec, I felt I could take the sizable financial risk that I'm sure you can appreciate is involved in starting your own business. And on in late November, my company, Bay Area Digital, opened its offices in downtown San Francisco very quietly, without fanfare, of course. And on the 8th of January, I severed my relationship with Symantec to pursue these new opportunities. So in a nutshell, that's kind of how I got to where I am. And as I say, our company name is Bay Area Digital. We're located in a very historic building in San Francisco. It's probably not known to many people. It's called the Flood Building. If you want to go to www.floodbuilding.com, you can see pictures of it if you have any vision. You can read about the building, but it was built, and this may be more meaningful to listeners, it was built in 1895.
Wow.
11 years before the San Francisco earthquake.
Wow.
And it was virtually untouched in the earthquake. I mean, this is one strong building. The floors and the walls in the building are solid marble, and it's an old, old-fashioned but beautiful structure. It's the only family-owned office building left in San Francisco downtown. And it used to be the headquarters, the worldwide headquarters for Woolworths. And I'm sure, Marlena, you
sure
remember Woolworths.
Oh, gosh, yes, yes.
Well, that has changed. It is now a major headquarters station for the Gap. But you know, what can I say?
Times, they are changing.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly. I have a very modest office on the sixth floor, but certainly more than adequate to begin a small company and run things. And I've had some incredible support from, you know, a number of areas. And I might call out for you and for people up in the state of Washington that the first major grantor to Bay Area Digital to work on our first project is a Washington-based trust. A trust started by a Seattle attorney, well, his influence, I should say, Arnold Sadler, and it's called the Schumann Trust.
Of course.
And they provided some seed money for a project we're working on very hard right now, a prototyping project. So thank you, Schumann Trust, and the people who were involved up in my old home state, and I feel so good about that.
That's great. Well, let me tell you, first of all, Gary just indicated to me that he's looking at a picture of the building as you mentioned it.
And oh, that's great.
He wanted you to know that he knows exactly where it is and has driven by it many times. So
yeah, it's at the corner of Market and Powell, which is
know where that is. Yes.
Intersections in the whole western United States.
Yes.
I can walk about 100 feet in either direction and get to the Powell Street BART station. So it's very accessible, and I think that's important.
Yeah.
And if you're in the area, we're having a party on the 21st of February from 4:30 to 8 to demonstrate our prototype and tell about our company. I've issued a newsletter. I mean, as a writer, what would be the first thing I would do?
Exactly, exactly. Tell me a little bit, Chris, about the mission of Bay Area Digital. What is it and why is it?
Okay. The mission, in the most overarching sense, is to work in the field of adaptive technology. But we have chosen a niche of that technology on which to focus for probably quite a while, because it's a big bite to take. And it really comes partly from my knowledge I've gained in ACB and partly from my own personal experiences over the last 4 years. But we're focusing very specifically on the technological needs of visually impaired and blind diabetics. In 2002, ACB passed a resolution asking that the leadership get involved in creating a better solution for blind diabetics than the solutions out there at that time, primarily in the field of blood glucose meters. Well, in 2003, as you may remember, I had a major personal injury involving my Muni, and discovered while I was in the hospital recovering from that I myself was a type 2 diabetic.
Can you, I think you might want to explain Muni, because there are some listeners who don't know what the heck is Muni?
Muni is our local mass transit system, kind of like it's really a light rail system. And I had the misfortune of stepping off the edge of the platform in between two Muni cars and was fairly seriously injured in the process. Probably because of that injury, I discovered, much to my annoyance, it was more than annoyance, I guess, I was very concerned at first, you know, that I myself was a type 2 diabetic. I'd always known at some point in my life I probably would be, because of my heredity. So it's not that it was so much of a shock, but this was no time to find out. And the thing I remember most about it, well, there are two. One was getting used to the idea. That was difficult. And it took me a couple days to really wrap my mind around the fact that this was happening to me and to overcome some of my own superstitions about diabetes and, you know, go through that process. The second memory I have, and this is what has made me decide to take this on as Bay Area Digital's mission, was 3 days later, you know, we learn to be survivors, I think, as visually impaired and blind people. And by the third day, I knew that I was going to take this problem on and do the best I could do and take care of myself in the absolutely best way that I could to beat the disease, or at least to be a competent diabetic, you know? I mean, there's got to be things you can learn, things you can do. A lady from an association for which I have a huge amount of respect, the American Association of Diabetic Educators, came to visit me in the hospital, and she was one of these no-nonsense nurses, you know. She got in there, and she said, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. We are going to get you on the right road. And I wasn't about to give her no for an answer because I didn't have the nerve.
Those are the best kind of people to have on your side.
They really are. She brought a meter, and by the time she was done with me in an hour, I'd taken my first blood sample. And had taken my first glucose reading, I guess is a better way to say it. And it wasn't exactly easy, although I knew even then that I could master it. But she said, with this, we're going to work together for three sessions, and you're going to be able to do much better than you did today. She said, the only thing I need you to know and never forget is that your accuracy rate will never exceed, no matter how good you are as a blind user. And she had a lot of faith in me, so I knew that she was not, you know, feeding me a line because she thought blind people couldn't do it. She said, your accuracy rate will probably never be able to exceed about 75%.
Wow, that's a frightening thought.
I thought to myself, I mean, I'm lucky. I'm just taking medication, and I can have, you know, blood readings every couple of months and so forth. What about the diabetic who is using insulin, having to decide how much to take, knowing that they're right only 75% of the time? And, you know, it really bothered me, and it kind of scared me, too, because I thought, well, I may get worse. Someday I may take insulin, and what would I do then? She herself has two blind people that she works with, and she goes by twice a day as a volunteer and does their readings for them so that they can be sure to give themselves, both of them are very brittle diabetics and really on the edge health-wise. And so she guarantees they have the right insulin. And I figure if somebody that strong was so sure of this, that she must be right. And I found out over the years that she's about right. That's about how accurate I can be. Now, you know, what it means is you kind of know when you're right and wrong. But instead of having to take one reading once a day or one reading three times a day, you may have to take three or four each of those times to really have confidence in what the reading is, and that's not right.
And each time you take a reading, and correct me if I'm wrong, but for people who may not be aware of this, each time when you're referred to taking a reading, that actually means pricking your finger or somewhere and getting blood out, correct?
That's correct.
What a thought.
And using a strip that is expensive. You figure the strips are, these days, up to a couple bucks a piece.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They're pretty pricey items. Well, I sure got interested at this point in a personal way, and I had been interested before, but I had delegated this work to a committee. I mean, presidents tend to do that, you know. We can't help ourselves, and there's only so much of us to go around.
True.
And I didn't know anything about the topic area before then, and I did perceive it as a problem, but, you know, I didn't have firsthand experience. A few people have criticized me for that, but I can't help it. It's just what I did. And when I came to learn the gravity of the problem, I didn't really take the work over, but the truth was the committee had not been a highly functional committee. Sometimes committees aren't. You do your best to appoint, and there are things that can stop a committee from working of all types. Well, anyway, I geared the committee up, and we began visiting manufacturers of blood glucose meters. We visited with the people at LifeScan, a division of Johnson & Johnson. They make the One Touch. You've probably seen the ads on TV. We talked with the people at Roche Diagnostics who made the AccuCheck, which has just recently gone off the market, which was the only really viable blood glucose meter. We talked to Bayer. They're a major manufacturer. And we talked to a small company that has since been bought by Abbott Laboratories, their diabetes care division. And they make a meter, and you see this advertised on TV fairly often, so you may know of it, called the Freestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's a bunch of different Freestyles, but basically I've focused my attention on the Freestyle Freedom. It's a very small meter. You hold it in the palm of your hand, and with Abbott was the only company who expressed any interest whatsoever in working with the blind community to make something happen, which was disappointing to me. I felt that at least one manufacturer would be more interested, but they weren't. And basically, with a great deal of support from Abbott, I have gotten to the point today in Bay Area Digital of creating a Freestyle Freedom attached to a computer with a serial cable that is fully 100% accessible.
That's incredible. And, you know, it amazes me that there was so much of a lack of interest because
yep.
Diabetes is one of the leading causes of blindness.
Exactly.
The second, if I remember correctly.
In the older age population today, it is the first.
Really?
That's what they tell me now. But, you know, first or second, even third, it doesn't really matter. It's a huge problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to anyway.
Don't stop now.
The people at LifeScan, they make the One Touch, and they have B.B. King in their ads, and they have older people in their ads. I thought, surely, they would at least have some interest in discussing it. We were there with them for an hour, during which time they spent all of their energy showing us the door.
Really?
It was one of the most disheartening meetings I've ever been to.
Wow. Wow, it sounds like a few I've been to on Capitol Hill in my life, and
you don't
expect that in the private sector. Wow.
No.
Well, all right, tell us about your device. You've indicated that one hooks it up to a computer with a serial cable, but how do you use it? What does it do? How does it work? Will it work with any screen reader?
As I say, it is totally a prototype, and I want people to know that right off. I mean, you know, there are so many issues about getting from where we are now to getting to the market that it's almost frightening. But having said that, now I can get excited about what I've got. What I'm trying to do is not improperly set people's expectations, if you see where I'm going. So today, you would take a Freestyle Freedom, this little tiny meter you hold in your hand, and it's got a place at one end to plug a cable. It's just like a mini phone plug, like a microphone plug. So it's very small, very lightweight cable. And that cable goes to your computer. And it is through that cable that all of your access, well, through that cable and through Windows XP, where all your access comes. You run a program on your PC, and at that point, you would be able to do anything with this meter that a sighted person can do, as long as you're prepared to put up with having it connected, physically connected. So you run the program, and it first tells you here the meter is connected and ready for use, and it does not require or use a screen reader. It actually moves the screen reader aside, and I've coded all of the prompts and voicing and so forth to be self-voicing. So we don't have any screen reader issues to fight with. I wouldn't always advocate that approach, but I think, Marlena, in this case, for this device, it's got to be perfect.
Do you have a sample of the voicing available for us to hear?
The voicing, I could do it on another show. I'm not really prepared
sure
to do that now. But I, just so you'll know, and you, many users may know what this means, it works directly with the Neo speech, and it usually uses Paul.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. That's a nice voice.
It is a nice voice. It's beautiful speech.
Hmm.
It is synthetic, but it's the best synthetic speech there is. You know, for an application that doesn't need to speed up very fast, and for an application where we want to be able to show it to and test it with people who don't have any real background in synthetic speech.
I'm asking Gary to open the lines, and the telephone number is 866-666-7926. Chris, let me ask you this question. Is there any thought of having this available to run either on a Braille Note, a PacMate, a PK, or even a an iPack, you know,
yes,
running something like MobileSpeak Pocket?
Yeah, I haven't thought much about iPacks yet because you need to educate me about them a little bit. But, you know, one of the platforms clearly ought to be a PacMate and a Braille Note and whatever models exist within those genre of products. And I don't want to say too much now.
Sure.
Because,
sure,
you know, I'm one of these kind of people. I hate vaporware.
Yeah,
and I hate
exactly
pre-announcements.
Exactly.
And I don't want to go there. But I think I can say, without risking that I have had direct conversations with both Humanware and Freedom Scientific and have had a lot of very, very favorable interest shown.
That's very exciting. And we have a caller. Let's bring them on in. Hi there. You're with Chris Gray and Marlena. Who's this?
Hello, Marlena. This is Jeff.
Hello.
Hey, Jeff.
Jeff.
How you doing, Chris?
I'm okay, thanks. How are you?
I was listening to the Marlena show and with three glucose meters in front of me.
Okay.
Because my wife is not here at the moment.
Right.
And I'm about ready to scream. So you're pretty timely on this. Getting readings from 182 to 62 is a bit unnerving.
That's a wide range.
Yeah. So, very, 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 very frustrating. And
Jeff, let me just interject here because some listeners may not be aware of the gravity of what you're saying. A person's normal glucose level should be between 80 and 115 to 120. Typically, it's between 80 and 100 for an average person.
Right.
If you go below 70, you will be considered in a situation of being hypoglycemic. And if you go above 150, your blood sugar is unquestionably too high and needs to be adjusted downwards.
Right.
Now, with Jeff looking at 62, which is at a dangerously hypoglycemic level, he ought to be eating a lot of sugar. At 160, he ought to be bringing that sugar down with medication or insulin,
exactly,
or whatever technique each individual would use. So what he's describing is a pretty bad situation.
Yeah, it's very frustrating because, and that's with 8 strips, by the way.
Oh my
so
God!
Wow.
Multiple tests with multiple meters.
Wow,
and you know, it's probably in the middle. It's probably 110.
Yeah.
So, Jeff, know, is that what you have to guess when something like that happens? That,
well, what I generally do is you know, for example, Carrie will be home in 45 minutes. And in that case, then I can have her. Because generally what this is caused by is one of two things. One, and most commonly caused by not enough blood into the strip,
mm-hmm,
or which is the most common cause. And it's hard because you can't, you know, you can't see the amount of blood that's going into the strip, or if it runs, you know, there's all kinds of problems there, and it makes it very, very, very difficult to, especially with the VoiceMate, because it requires so much.
Yeah.
So it's really, really kind of difficult to deal with, and so I'm real excited about, I mean, the blood issue, you know, getting blood targeted, probably isn't going to be resolved by Chris's solution, although it might, I don't know what that meter, how that meter works, but just getting accurate results, I mean, I don't know if you've dealt with a voice meter or not, but they're unbelievably difficult to deal with in reference to telling them, hey, you know, this is highly inaccurate.
Yeah, it's too bad. Well, and of course, the voice meter is the best. It's the Cadillac meter.
Wow.
And when we're talking about that as the best, it's a concern. But the other thing is now, even with its problems, VoiceMate is fairly irrelevant because it's been withdrawn from the market by Roche.
Yeah, I cannot believe it.
The issue, well, the problem with it is it uses a very old meter, and Roche can no longer support that meter. So, in a way, it's a double-edged sword, but, you know, it's almost bad to have blind people be reliant on technology which is 10 to 15 years old, especially in this field. Jeff, let me say something else, and this relates to your comment about knowing about the blood on the strip. What typically happens, Marlena, is that there's a window on the strip, and a sighted person watches the window,
yeah.
And as the blood goes on the strip, it changes color.
Yeah, you
so
can
when
see
the
that
whole window is a new color, then you know that you have enough blood. One of the claims to fame of the Abbott meter, and this was developed by the small company that Abbott purchased, is that the strip itself has visual verification, but more importantly, it knows internally, electronically, when it has the right amount of blood, and it will not do a test until it does.
Ah,
wow. So
my
software will say, you know, blood detected, filling strip. And when the strip is full, it will say, strip is full, testing. And then you know you can move the meter away from your finger. So we have absolute feedback and control for the first time over the entire testing process.
Chris, are you coming to CSUN?
Yes.
I'm going to hug you there.
You're in California. It's okay.
No. But I mean,
well, there goes half my audience.
I really had to dust off my C skills for this work.
Well,
it is really exciting to know, to be able to say to a blind person, if you get a reading, it's going to be the right reading.
You don't know what really that means. I mean, you do, but I mean, that has always been the struggle of,
yes.
of knowing. I mean, gotten to the point where, I mean, I wasn't feeling too well tonight, so I thought, well, I'm going to test my blood and make sure I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
And because normally I go, well, fine, I'm just going to get my blood tested every 3 months, you know, and rely on my A1C.
Yeah.
You know, which, you know, with A1Cs of 5.7, 5.8.
Hang on, what's an A1C?
An A1C is a blood test which tests the amount of glucose in your blood within a 2 to 3 month window.
Oh, okay.
It looks at the hemoglobin in your blood and can make a determination of your average over those months.
Okay.
Right.
And a lot of blind people use this because it's really the only it's the most reliable mechanism they've got.
Right.
But like Jeff is saying, he's not feeling that great tonight, so he wants to know right now, you know.
Yeah. And so, it's, you know, I finally said the heck with it and put the meters back on the shelf and said, well, wait till Carrie gets home. And,
yep.
And it's probably fine, you know.
Jeff, let's talk
about
it.
You don't know what to eat and, you know.
Well, exactly.
It's very difficult.
Let's talk for a minute about the other issue you raised, and it's an important issue. And actually, and if I don't explain this well, Marlena, you let me know. Making the meter accessible, making the screen accessible is totally important. You've got to do it. But in this case, it's only half the battle, really. Because if you can't get the blood to this little tiny area at the tippity end of the strip, where the strip uses this capillary action to suck the blood into itself, you're out of luck. You're not going to get a reading anyway. And so it turns out that to make a meter accessible, you've got to jump through two hoops. One is to make the visual screen accessible. The second is to find a way to help a blind person get that drop of blood. And we're talking about 0.03 deciliters here. It's for the Abbott strip, 0.10 for the AccuCheck wide range. But, you know, it's not that much blood in either case, and it's got to get on this tiny place on the strip. We are working on that. I'm actually working with a small company that does plastic molding, and they're willing to work with us on a short-term basis for a fee that Bay Area Digital can afford, and see if we can devise a template that would assist in the blood placement process. And blood placement is a major goal of Bay Area Digital. We intend to have it addressed in at least one way, and probably two, but the short-term mechanism will be some kind of a plastic guide that maybe you can use. The idea would be put the guide on your finger and use an aperture in the guide, both for the piercing of the skin and the touching of the strip to that place to collect the blood. I don't know if we can do it. We haven't done it yet. We're working on it. It's a tough problem. But we're gonna get it done within 6 to 9 months. Probably not by CSUN, Jeff.
That's all right.
But that's another major goal. And then, just to say something really fast about, because I know the hour may fade away too quickly here, about the longer-term vision, there has never been a blood glucose pump made that's accessible. And we know that for severe type 2 diabetics and for pretty much all type 1 diabetics, the glucose pump is a beautiful, beautiful solution. There are a lot of blind people today using the pumps, but they can only use them with help in everything but the most rudimentary of uses. And there needs to be a talking glucose pump on the market. Moving on from there, we get on toward the technology which is going to guide us in the next 5 to 10 years to an artificial pancreas, or at least a closed-loop system that can function like a pancreas. And there are devices today that are pending FDA approval that slip under your skin, subcutaneous little needles with transmitters on them that can then transmit the readings upon request for a 5-day period of time. And we're working with a company to create accessibility for that type of system as well. So we got a lot of plans in this
Chris,
market.
What about less invasive type? You know, we've heard about meters which are, you know, that are basically through skin and you know, things like that. And
I know. There is no non-invasive technology today. The least invasive is said to be by professionals in the market, this subcutaneous needle.
Okay.
To be honest, that feels more invasive to me, but
yeah.
That's just me.
Mm.
And but none of the, you know, the GlucoWatch and the, oh gosh, there have been all these other things that have been touted on the TV and advertised. And
well,
I'm
was
sorry
that
to say
was even that talked about that was accessible, you know, that was
Sugar Track.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, good old Sugar Track. They announced it in 2000 and it still doesn't exist. I hate to say it because I know that's what people really want. But unfortunately, the industry believes, or at least it says it believes, maybe somebody's waiting for a patent or waiting for an FDA approval, and we need to look at that every day. But the people at Abbott and others I've spoken to tell me that a non-invasive technology just isn't on the horizon.
All right. I'm being chastised from my director in the other room saying other people are trying to call and I should hang up. But, Jeff, before I do, real quickly, 15 seconds, what's on Main Menu this week on the new Main Menu format, which is breaking all listener records. What's coming up?
Main Menu this week is all Kurzweil. So in the first hour, we're going to hear from Stephen Baum. And in the second hour, we'll have open lines, and we're bringing on Paul Hendrickson from Kurzweil Systems, as well as Jamie Paul from Access Watch. And we're going to be talking technology and Kurzweil, and anybody can call in. It's all open phones.
All right.
It's going to be happening Tuesday.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jeff.
We'll see you.
See you then.
Take care, Jeff.
Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. And, you know, I purposely wanted you and Jeff to go on, because I really felt that Jeff's issue that he was at this moment working through was exactly what you are at this moment trying to mitigate with this technology.
That's exactly right.
So I felt that it was important, and I apologize to anyone whoever just called my house and said, hang up!
Well, it could be, though, such a realistic example of what happens to people in that situation. So
yeah.
Maybe people can view it that way not feel too ignored.
Yes, yes. The line is open now, and anyone who would like to phone may do so, and we have someone. How about that? Let's push all the right buttons and bring them in. Hi there, you're with Chris Gray and Marlena. Who's this?
Hi, it's Sue.
Hello, Sue.
Hey, Sue.
That's why I had to have Gary give you a bad time.
How's your blood sugar level?
My blood sugar?
Yeah.
It'll be a little better once I have another sip of something.
That's a different kind of blood level, Sue.
Have you got a meter to measure that? That's what I want to know.
Well, no, maybe that could be on Chris's next horizon.
There you go.
Yeah, okay.
I can't believe Chris is missing the game.
I can't either. How's it going?
They're in the third quarter. It's 16-14.
Oh, that sounds like an actually kind of interesting Super Bowl.
Oh, see now, Chris, you should have told me you wanted to do it next week. I would have flexed my programmatic muscle.
Yeah, that's not a problem.
So 16 who? 14 who?
16 Indianapolis.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And Adam Benatari, Mr. whatever his name is, you know that guy. He makes the field goal right at halftime, which is... It's like his first one he's missed all year.
Well, after what happened with the Bears and the Seahawks, now I'll lose all my Chicago listeners, but New Orleans.
What was really horrible was when the game started, the first kick, the guy ran 92 yards for Chicago, and I thought, oh, this is going to be a bad game. I think this is really a very exciting project that Chris is doing. Obviously, sighted people, they can check their blood sugar levels every day, every other day, whatever they need to do. So I know that Chris has, moved over into this arena. And actually, we've been fortunate. I and a couple other people are on a trust, and we were able to put some money into this because we really do believe in it. And
yes, Chris actually mentioned that in the beginning of the show.
Well, for some reason, either my computer is having a problem or... I had to go in, the tuner isn't getting main menu. It's getting...
Oh, dear.
Unless it's my computer, but it's getting interactive and cafe and treasure trove, but not main menu. So I missed the first 10 minutes, so I'll have to hear it again.
Yeah, it's something on your end because Gary's got it up in the other room, so who knows?
Well, you know how my computer is.
Well, maybe Bay Area Digital, once they solve this problem, they could solve that problem.
Just come and fix Sue's computer would be a major undertaking anyway.
Yeah, there's a lot of us who would appreciate that, actually, including Sue.
Yeah, but anyway, I just think it's... Do you have other things in mind, Chris? Or if you already covered this, I'll listen.
Well, no. I hadn't covered it. I was so... I'm so much involved in this right now. But yes, I do have other things in mind, and let me throw a few of them out. And I'm always eager for all kinds of new suggestions, many of which I may ignore. A good friend and colleague of mine recently suggested I ought to get into the voting machine technology area, and I'm like,
no.
I don't think so.
No.
There's way too many people in that. But,
yes.
And so maybe I won't take every idea, and of course, who could in a small company? But let me tell you a couple of things that I'm thinking about. As a related, all this blood glucose meter stuff will move on and so on. And as a kind of a related but broader issue, it seems to me that there's a lot of blind people who would like to have some kind of accessible exercise equipment.
Indeed.
And certainly that would be great for people who have type 2 or type 1 diabetes, but it would be great for a lot of other people. And if we could even tackle the whole issue of equipment in health clubs, that would even be better. But we do have knowledge of... some techniques that have been used to make treadmills and bikes and similar equipment accessible that are available in the mainstream marketplace, Nordic Track and equipment like that. So we're pursuing that. And so I know you've wanted a treadmill for years.
Yes,
so.
I'll rush right out and be the first to buy it. How about if you had a scale that talked really quiet, you know?
No. How about if we had a scale that gave us the same weight two times in a row?
Well, that would be nice,
sometimes
too.
It does, but it's still unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something. I have two scales. One of them is a talking scale. It is purported to be one of the most reliable scales that you can get. And I still weigh myself 3 to 5 times to get the same weight twice. But
yeah.
The other scale I have is the old Braille waist high dial.
Oh.
And I need to find out where I can get it fixed because it's 5 pounds off just consistently. And so I use that and then add the 5. I wish I could take away the 5 pounds, but I add the 5 pounds and there is just nothing that beats that Braille waist high dial. And I tell you, I have had more people, some of our mutual friends, who've come to this house and used the bathroom, and they come out and say, "Oh my gosh, would you sell me that scale?" And I'm like, no, mm-hmm. Not even for hundreds would I sell it.
I think I remember seeing one of those when we were in grade school.
They're very old.
Yeah.
But they are, and I tell you, you'd have a seller.
That's a good point.
Everyone who comes here who's blind loves that scale.
Yeah,
so.
I can well believe that. About 3 or 4 years ago, my mom was visiting and made the mistake of stepping on the talking scale. She was more than a little displeased when her weight was announced to the whole house.
Well, and I think your mom is one who's seen my Braille scale, actually.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, and if I remember correctly, I think she said, "Well, that seems to make more sense than those talking scales."
When you get on the talking scale and it goes, "Could one person please get off?" It's embarrassing. Hey, well, I don't want to tie things up either, but I just wanted to call in, and I'll have to listen to the first part of the show again. And so good luck, Chris.
Well, you bet. Thank you, Sue, and thank you for your support in the Schumann Trust as well.
Okay.
Appreciate that.
Terrific.
And another idea that I have, Sue, Marlena, but listeners, is one that I need more feedback on from people, but I've been approached regarding working with a company on the shorthand machines used by court reporters and helping work out accessibility for blind people who wish to do closed caption descriptions.
Yes.
Which apparently is very lucrative. And I think it's an interesting possibility.
Well, didn't there used to be, and I may be dreaming this, or maybe you know, or if you don't, maybe someone else listening would know, didn't there used to be a sort of a Braille court reporter type machine?
Yeah, there was one. It was made in the UK.
Yeah, and it spewed
stuff out. And a lot of blind folks used it on tape.
Yeah.
But today, there's a specific kind of court reporting machinery that is made, and you learn how to use it in these special schools around the country. And it interfaces to computers apparently with JAWS or Window Eyes, but there are things that it is feeding back that are not accessible. For example, when you're doing, let's say you're doing a closed captioning presentation for the deaf, a light shows when you may not write any longer. And there's some other things similar to that are not accessible. And blind folks seem to want to do that work, and it's not that hard to do because, you know, you're typing what you're hearing.
Sure.
So,
sure.
And at $35 an hour, well, hey.
Hey, I could do that. 866-666-7926. It's just about 52 minutes past the hour as I look at my clock, and as you hear me, it'll be probably 53 minutes past the hour. And we're visiting tonight with Chris Gray, the president of the American Council of the Blind, but he's here more tonight to talk with us about his new company, Bay Area Digital. Chris, How do you start? Well, we start by taking a phone call. Never mind. We'll put that question on hold and bring the caller in. Hi there. You're with Chris Gray and Marlena. Who's this?
Well, this is Chris Pepple from Arlington, so we don't get confused.
Oh, hey, my Chris. Goodness. Two Chrises.
Hi. Yes. And thank God somebody is trying to do something. This is great to hear. It really is.
Well, thank you.
I have a Roche AccuCheck, and frankly, I'm disgusted with it.
Yeah. It's not a great meter, although, you know, it was described on a blind diabetic list in the last 6 months as, and I quote, the Cadillac of accessible glucose meters.
Ah.
And I can kind of see that point in a way, but wow, if that's the Cadillac,
think the harness press trying to, you know, pricking your finger and then trying to find the spot so it beeps, that's one of the most difficult things,
yeah.
Even if you use it.
Yeah, it is. It's a known problem, but not a problem that anyone has really tried to address. And, you know, everybody's excited about the Prodigy, and I think the Prodigy's great as a low-price.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Meter.
Is it worth investing in?
Well, you can get them for $50 or less, so it's probably worth investing in. And I will never knock the Prodigy. But what I will say is that you have to recognize that if you get a Prodigy, you can only hear the reading once, and if you miss it or you don't understand it, you, at least on the model that I have,
uh-huh.
You cannot repeat the reading. You cannot access the logs. You cannot set your code level
right.
for your vial of strips. And worst of all, in terms of its place in the marketplace, the Prodigy does not have the autofill technology in its strips that I was describing earlier that
right.
New meters have. Now, having said that, you know, it's a very portable meter. It's about the only alternative on the market today for a blind person. It's very hard. It's harder with it even than the AccuCheck to get the blood on the strip, but it can be done. And, you know, it's not something you should ignore. It's not that it's a bad meter.
Right.
It's just that it's a $50 meter.
Yeah, right.
All right. Anything else, Chris?
Well, no, but thank you very much, and good luck. I'll be keep track of what's going on here.
We'll definitely be tracking this and bringing Chris back on whenever he's ready to announce next steps, etc. So definitely keep your ear tuned here as well.
All right. Well, have a good evening, both of you.
All right,
Thank
Chris.
You too.
Thanks.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
866-666-7926 to talk with Chris Gray. Chris, my question was going to be, how do you, and this is kind of an out there question, but
mm-hmm.
How do you get up the nerve to start a company when you are completely gainfully employed with benefits, etc.? And while you think of that answer, we'll bring in the next call.
Okay.
Hi there, you're with Marlena and Chris Gray. Who's this, please?
This is Daryl Sandro, the other half of Main Menu Live.
The other
hey,
half
Daryl.
Of Main Menu Live.
Hey, Chris, thanks for your support on the petition last year.
You're very welcome.
And I think I think it certainly helped get something done in the case of Google.
I think it did too. It was great. It was really kind of visionary for you to put it up there, I think.
Yeah, well, hopefully. I thought of a solution to one of the problems, maybe.
Okay.
They have, as you know, there exist color testers.
We're talking about the
solution to the blood problem for diabetics,
yeah,
maybe?
Right.
So they have color testers. Now, I recognize that right now, the color testers, at least that I know about, you know, the probe for them is way too big, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But if you could have one that had a probe that ended in
yep.
a pin-sized type device, you know, photocell or something.
It could then test the window for a different color.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, it's an interesting idea, and believe me, ideas are the thing we need to have come forward to solve these problems. Hi there.
It's very, very exciting hearing about this product. I'm so glad that we're listening to the show tonight. because that will give diabetics, you know, all the independence and peace of mind.
Exactly.
Extremely frustrating.
Great. Well, thank you.
And Chris, yeah. I hope you make sure that to try to get the solutions that you do come up with, try to get them covered by, you know, government programs like Medicare and things of that sort.
I'm devoting considerable attention to that issue, yes.
You know,
it's not an easy issue.
I'm sorry?
It's not an easy issue, but I'm devoting a lot of attention to it.
Well, it brings into play that the whole durable medical equipment thing, doesn't it, Chris?
Yes, it does.
And that's a very, very tough issue, and it's one that I know ACB's been working on, but I believe so too have other consumer groups, both blind and with other physical disabilities, because it's not as simple as we'll get them to cover this one thing.
Right.
It's the whole concept that a durable medical device isn't a choice, it's a necessity.
Yes.
And that's where, you know, you're talking about Medicare, Social Security, and those are not easy nuts to crack.
Well, I just can't understand, honestly, to tell you the truth, why accessibility of this kind of equipment isn't a 508 type issue or 504 issue, where why it isn't the case really that it can't be covered at all unless it's accessible.
Yeah, that's a difficult nut to crack. I think, you know, maybe it is. Maybe no one's tested it hard enough yet. But I think we need to make some inroads with the Social Security and get Congress to help us with the insurance providers, because we're really at insurance providers' mercy today.
Yeah.
Well, Nancy Pelosi is my congresswoman, so...
Go
I'm
get her,
that
Chris.
Might matter.
Yeah.
Are you going to have a website, Chris?
Yes, I will have a website, but it's not at a point where I want to promote it yet. Of course, I have email. You can get me. My email is chris@BayAreaDigital, all one word, BayAreaDigital.us.
Very cool. Well, it's nice speaking with you, Chris, and I look forward to seeing you at CSUN.
Okay, you guys take care.
Thanks, Daryl and Karen. Bye-bye.
Hey.
You're welcome.
The quick answer to your question, Marlena,
yes.
Is you got to be kind of crazy.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Probably the quick answer.
Yeah.
But also, I know that if I can last long enough, and if I can get some grant money together, and believe me, I'm working hard on some grant money with the National Institutes of Health, with whom I met last week, for some extensive meetings, and the National Science Foundation. The grant money is there. I believe that, you know, I have a good idea. I proved to myself with the prototype before leaving Symantec that the work was doable.
Mm-hmm.
If there was ever a project that could work, this ought to be it. If there was ever a need that needs to be met, this clearly is it. And with those two things, why not give it a shot?
Are you able to stay with us a little bit longer? We have another call coming
sure.
in. All right. Hi there. You're with Chris Gray and Marlena. Who's this?
Good evening. How are you?
Hi, Timothy up in Nova Scotia.
Yeah. Just wanted to find out if your company is planning to do anything in Canada.
We certainly will do some work in Canada. In fact, I'm going to be in Canada in, somewhere near the end of March. And I've already talked with the director of the Canadian National Institute for the Blind up there, Jim Sanders, and gotten his curiosity up. I didn't have a prototype yet to show him when we talked. We actually talked about this at the...
'Cause it'll be good if they can get the stuff up here, too.
Oh, I agree.
All right,
no,
Timothy,
we'll work with Canada, no question about it.
I'm going to let Chris finish your answer and clear up the line. You have a good one, too. Yeah, that Canada, I would think that, we have a busy line here. I would think, and this may be sort of my stereotype, but I would think that the Canadians would be extremely receptive to coverage and provision of this. Would that?
They may be. I've kind of thought about that, too.
Yeah. I'm
NIH
sort of,
is a tough nut to crack.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm kind of grasping for words here because it's only a sort of a bias that I have that I just somehow sort of feel the Canadian health system is much more people-friendly than ours. But I
would tend to think that, too.
I don't know why I think that, though. That's why I'm falling all over myself. Hey, we have another call. Let's bring them in. Hi there, you're with Chris Gray and Marlena. Who's this?
This is Shirley. How are you today?
Hello, Shirley. How are you?
Oh,
hey, Shirley.
I'm not doing too badly here. Got a couple things for Chris.
Okay.
I appreciate the project you're working on, but I've got a couple of mild concerns. Since you're saying this is going to interface with the computer for the readouts and everything, number one, obviously, not every blind diabetic has access to a computer. And number two, in terms of portability, you know, we don't always have a computer with us if we're, out doing things and so on and so forth. Are you looking at anything that's going to be self-contained at this point, or are you strictly looking at this device being attached to a computer or some type of other device such as a PacMate or whatever for the readout?
That's a really good question, and I'm glad you asked because you're right. I didn't make clear enough what our intentions are for the future. I don't necessarily perceive this computer-based prototype as something that will ever be sold. I say that for a couple of reasons. One is that I think it will be very difficult for a lot of diabetics to use it with a computer. Many, many don't have a computer, and it is confining to have to use it with a computer. That's less true of a PacMate or a Braille Note, but partly true there. Another reason is, frankly, that to get the 510K clearance is expensive enough that I'm not sure if I'd ever sell enough computer-based products to get my money back for the clearance itself, much less any of the development. What this does, this computer attachment, is that it's a proof of concept. It shows that we can use this meter and get every bit of information we need and how to do that. The very next step to take for this product is to build some prototypes where we have the chips and the hardware infrastructure to emulate this computer environment but have it all in one self-contained unit.
Ah,
and
okay,
that will be
so
the
that
next
is
step.
Your long-range goal then, is to have
it self-contained. Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
I think it has
good.
To be. To be a real player in this market, it has to be self-contained.
Okay, that's great. And my second question is, I understand that there's a company working on a meter that's supposed to be coming out in April called the GlucoPerfect. Have you heard about that yet? Know anything about it at all?
I think I read something about it, but I don't really know anything about it, no. What have you read?
Well, not much. We actually, my husband actually called the company a couple weeks ago, and somebody was supposed to call us back.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't heard back from them yet. So, we have very little information right now. So I was kind of curious if you could give us any insight.
No, but I'll look into it. There has been a number I have looked into, but that's not one of them.
And if you find out anything, Shirley, about the GlucoPerfect, feel free to call back on one of my open forum times
and
share that information as well.
Okay, that's great. I'll be very happy to do that because I think we'll probably try to call them again since they haven't called us back.
It's
so
a little.
Is it supposed to talk?
Yes, sir.
Oh.
Yes, it is. That would be my primary interest in it.
Interesting.
It's supposed to be a talking meter.
Okay.
That's the main reason I brought it up.
All right.
Hmm. Interesting.
Well, that will be interesting.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very
Thanks,
much.
Thanks, Shirley. Take care. Tell Lynn hi.
You too, and I really envy you, by the way, Marlena. I don't want to get into it now with Chris on the phone because I know time's limited, but boy, I tell you, I want to talk later more about your experience last week. That
oh, with Ronnie?
Neat.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That
I'm
was
really
fun.
Envious of you. That's
it was,
great.
It was fun to share that on the show, all the recordings and so
right,
forth.
Right.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Okay, well, thank you so much for your time.
All right, take care.
Thank
take
you.
Care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
866-666-7926. Chris, what about other things? At this point in time, as far as I know anyway, I'm not diabetic, but I am a very, very severe asthmatic. Mm-hmm. And what is inaccessible to me, which is actually a life-saving device, is something called a peak flow meter. And what this thing is, and I believe it should be pretty easy to make something work. But what this thing is it's a device into which you literally you blow as hard as you can, and there's a needle on the inside of the device that that you push with your breath, and then a sighted person looks at it and says, "Oh my gosh, you're only at 300, which is very low.
Right.
I mean, your normal is like around 500.
Mm-hmm.
And diabetics, asthmatics who are as severe as I are told to use this thing 3 to 4 times a day, even if you feel good.
Mm.
But blind people with asthma have no access to this at all.
Interesting.
And I wonder if that's, that kind of equipment is something that you might consider down the road.
Absolutely. That is just the kind of thing I've been thinking about and wondering about for future products. And you know, it's so hard to know what people are using in the regular course of their lives.
Yeah, yeah. And Gary is in our very technical studio here, where we have an intercom, which is called Yelling Around the Corner. He's also yelling to me, "What's more important than the peak flow?" And he's absolutely right. And this is completely inaccessible as well. Is an oximeter. Where you put the little thing on your index finger and it gives you your oxygen saturation rate. I mean, mine has been as low as 78 because I just didn't know. And that's when you are rushed to the hospital because you're barely using your oxygen at all.
Wow.
So your normal on with a device like that, your normal is 95.
Just
to give you an idea. So, you know, again, someone with emphysema who's blind, someone with asthma who is blind, someone with, what do they call that thing, COP, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease.
Right. No, these are really key pieces of equipment. And, you know, people haven't been willing to touch them. And because I think they feel the market is too small or maybe they just don't know about them, I would be excited to get any input that you have about such products, who makes them, and we would definitely pursue these kind of products.
Oh, that's great. Well, we'll talk.
It fits right in with our mission.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, I'd love to help you with that.
Okay.
Well, listen, I know it's Super Bowl, and you've been just a super sport to have come on and participated. But I got to ask you one more thing before you go. Can't let you go without this. Ain't it great about the petition? Do you know we have over 5,000 signatures on the Money for All petition?
Oh, fantastic. I had
Ain't
not
it
looked.
Great? Yeah.
Marv Lennon, I've been watching, and I kept saying, it's going to go to 5,000.
Yeah, it's
over. And it's going to go well beyond.
Yeah.
I didn't know we'd hit 5,000. That is a huge benchmark.
Yep.
I'm excited.
Yep. Ain't it great? I like how that feels to say. Not that I don't know my grammar, but ain't it great? It's worth having a good old fest about, that's for sure. So,
well, and when the Treasury Department loses this appeal, and I firmly believe they will, which we could talk about at some point too, if you like, maybe not tonight, but I believe they have very little chance of winning, and there's more publicity. We're going to advertise this petition to the public better than we did before, and I think the public will sign it en masse.
Well, you know, I sent out the information on the petition to everyone in my address book whom I thought might not have had contact with it. So that translates out to mostly sighted people in my address book. Few blind people, mostly sighted. Everyone to whom I said, if you sign this, would you please let me know? Every single person wrote back and said, I signed it, and it's disgraceful that we have to do this.
That's amazing. You know,
this is a crazy thing, but doesn't it seem to you that the support is easier to get and more just immediate and absolute and unyielding among sighted people than among blind people?
Yes, yes. I felt that way. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had the same experience. All my friends at Symantec, and, you know, ACB was featured twice on Good Morning America. A lot of people saw me, saw ACB. Part of my interview with Good Morning America was carried on the BBC and came back to the U.S. that way. Melanie on NPR and so much other coverage around the country. All my friends at Spender were coming to me, we never thought about this. This is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's kind of an interesting concept to look at why are blind people just a little bit slower in general to sign it than sighted people who are just outraged by it. It's crazy.
Well, I think it has to do with a little reticence on our part to call too much attention to ourselves and to try as hard as we can to succeed and to be able to overcome these things. And suddenly when something might not need to be overcome, we're saying, oh, well, that would be different. Is that really the most important thing? And, of course, in the long run, we all know that it is. But I think that, you know, there is that momentary pause and wonderment, and you got to think it through.
Yeah,
and I think that's what goes on in the community, really.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, Chris, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. I've enjoyed it.
And when you want to come back on with, you know, chapter two of where you are, please let me know if I can help in any way with publicity, whatever. I just think this is such an area that has been so disregarded and poorly handled for people who are blind. And I'm just really, really happy that you are taking this on and trying to mitigate that.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. And if everyone will just stay tuned, we're going to put on a little music, take a little break, and we will be right back.
The American Council of the Blind is working hard to ensure that all blind and visually impaired people using United States currency have the same level of access to information about that currency as those who are sighted. If this is important to you, if you agree that you should have the same level of information about the U.S. currency that you use, now there is something you can do. Please take a moment and go to www.moneyforall.info and sign the Money for All Accessible Currency Online Petition. Again, it's at www.moneyforall.info. That's money, the number four, all.info. The American Council of the Blind would like to thank you for taking the time to sign the online petition. Again, it's at www.moneyforall.info. That's money, the number four, all.info.
Put the lime in the coconut. I like that song.
Doctor.
Yeah. Okay. We'll turn Harry Nilsson down with his lime in the coconut and be with you up until the top of the hour. It's about 16 minutes past the hour right now here on ACB Radio Mainstream. Let's do the housekeeping shtick, and then we'll open up the phones for open forum. If you're listening to this program at any time other than 6 to 7 Pacific, 9 to 10 Eastern on a Sunday night in North America, or 2 to 3 on a bright and early Monday UTC morning, you're listening to a repeat, and we want you to put your feet up and enjoy the show and just kind of kick back. If, however, you're listening live during that time, we would love to have you call in. If you called in the first hour, it's okay to call in the second hour. Second hour is a whole new start. Same old song, whole new start. Telephone number to call is 866-666-7926. Next week, we are going to have quite an interesting show. Mr. Paul Nugent, living over in the United Kingdom, caught my attention with one of his podcasts, which was posted on Blind Cool Tech. And it's a podcast dealing with reincarnation and his belief structure, how he feels that his belief, his spirituality has influenced his life. And I just thought that might be kind of an interesting show for us to do. So next Sunday night in the first hour, Sunday night, Monday morning, Paul will be staying up until, golly, almost 2 in the morning to be with us from the UK. So hopefully you all will join in and feel free to give him a call. And I spoke with him for a good while yesterday. Fascinating individual. Absolutely fascinating. Then following that, we will be hearing from a couple of new providers of new shows that will be coming up on Mainstream. We'll be hearing from, well, maybe we'll just leave that a secret. We'll let you wonder what new programs are coming up on the Mainstream. We have a call. Let's bring the call on in. Hi there. You're with Marlena. Who's this?
Well, this is Shirley. You must have been reading my mind because I was sitting here thinking, well, now, am I going to get in trouble if I call in again?
Oh, no, because it's open forum. It's a whole new deal.
That's kind of what I figured, but I was kind of glad to hear you say it. I didn't dial until I heard you say
it. It's a whole new deal.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I got to tell you, I was just, as I started to say before, wow, that was some deal last week. I bet you're still kind of on cloud nine from that.
Well, it's, you know, it's pretty amazing. I guess the two things that most amaze me at this point, and I mean, eventually those two things will settle in and I'll have other things about it that amaze me, but the two things that most amaze me are, first of all, that we had security guards with us. Everywhere we went, it was like we were stars. We had two security guards with us, sometimes three. And then the other thing that amazes me is that Ronnie kept saying, oh, it's such a pleasure to meet you, and reaching over and touching my hand or touching my arm, you know, the whole time we were just sitting there chatting, and I thought, wait a minute, the shoe is on the other foot here, baby.
Now, I was amazed that they let you stay there so long afterwards.
Well, you know, I finally, because I don't know the ways of being an important person, and so was after 1 in the morning, and I said, gosh, is the parking lot still open? And his manager just laughed. He said, don't you worry. We've got two security guards outside waiting to take you guys to your car. These people just waited.
They were there that whole time?
Yes. And they said, when we were walking to the car, they said, we were told that you're the Oprah of the blind community. And I was like, well, I don't think so, but okay. And then I said, gosh, I can't believe that you guys were here the whole time. And they said, oh no, Mr. Millsap, wanted it this way. And we were really surprised too, because normally he just doesn't hang around. You know, he just normally leaves. And I thought, wow. I mean, we were this huge, huge venue.
Well, I'm amazed that the place would have still been open.
Well,
I mean, that's what I would have wondered after a while. Like, well, are we in for the night, or are we going to have a way out of here?
You ought to walk through a venue that large And that only has five people in it.
Oh, yeah.
Your footsteps echo. It was sort of eerie. You know, I thought, gosh, James Madison could come. James Patterson could come and write a great murder book about this.
Yeah.
You know,
wow,
it was,
oh, yeah.
It's a whole different feel.
Well, not only that, but
feel.
You would think at a certain point they would lock the building and, you know, everybody would have to be out.
Well, and they it was all locked. They had to unlock all the doors. And,
wow.
And we even went on some elevators that were driven by people.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Yeah. Not push buttons, you know.
Right. Right.
It was a phenomenal experience. But it was so funny because when I said, you know, gosh, is the parking lot still open? They just laughed, you know. Of course, they don't have to worry about that, you know. And
I would have wondered the same thing.
I didn't know there were two guards out there waiting to take
right.
us to our... We were the only car out there was us.
Oh, my.
In parking that is probably 18,000.
Yeah, you would have thought you would have had to go there by yourself, so I can kind of see where
yeah,
you've been a little
yeah.
concerned.
I was like, oh, okay, well, you know, I don't want to break this up. I said
wow, that's amazing.
Oh, it was
so he
just,
must have stayed in town for that night then.
He did. He flew back home early the next morning. He flew home around 10 o'clock the next morning.
Wow.
I
now,
said,
how far are you from, you said it was Tacoma, I think?
Yes.
How far do you live from there?
It's about, oh gosh, half hour. 40.
Oh, that's not too bad
yeah,
then.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
that is amazing.
Yeah,
well,
was,
I did get to meet him once extremely briefly for like about a minute when he performed at Hamvention one time here in Dayton. One of the people here arranged for a couple of us who were blind to get to meet him and shake his hand and get an autograph or something like that real quickly.
And he really likes to meet blind people. You know, he told me that he really enjoys that. And
oh, I'm sure. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
It's just like so many of us, you know, who are blind, he has sleeping issues, you know.
Right.
So he's got a computer in his bedroom without a screen, so it doesn't wake Joyce up, and
oh
his little headphones, and and off he goes and listens to whatever, you know. He just like I do, and probably you too, you know. Wake
wow.
up in the middle of the night, and yeah.
I just sit out here in the family room.
Yeah, well, you see, I used to do that before I got Agnes, but she's still at the point where if I get up, she thinks she should get up. So
right.
then she wakes everybody up. So I find myself confined to my bed in my sleeplessness.
Oh, my. I understand. Well, sometimes I do that, too. But
yeah, yeah. So, but it was a great, it was something I will never forget. It truly, truly was. And
oh, I'm sure.
And, you know, I said this either last Sunday or on my show Friday. I can't remember. But we really did feel as though when we left, all this sort of, wow, it's Ronnie Millsap was pretty much not there anymore. And it was more, you know, Ronnie and Joyce Millsap are two really nice people. And,
oh, I bet.
You know, we sat around, we laughed, we
sure.
talked, we, you know, Joyce picked on him, he picked on her, I picked on Gary, Joyce
right.
and I picked on Ronnie, you know.
Right.
Gary
right.
and Ronnie defended themselves and picked on, you know how couples would do.
Oh, sure.
You know, it was just a wonderful, wonderful time, so.
Well, that's neat.
I feel very, very fortunate to have had it.
Yeah, that's great.
And if my friend Sue Amateur hadn't called me and told me, Ronnie did call me, and he said, of course I would call you, but, you know me, I get worried about everything. Oh, my gosh, I got to get tickets right away, you know.
Right, right, right.
So.
That's great.
So that's the deal.
All right.
All right, are you coming to, of course you are, Minneapolis?
I think so.
Oh, come on, you are.
We probably are. We just made a hotel reservation the other day, although this is a good time to mention to people, by the way, if you want to stay at the main hotel, I was late this time. We always make our reservations, you know, like right away.
Yeah.
And we didn't do that this time. I messed around, and the last two nights that we want to stay, we couldn't get the ACB rate.
Wow.
You know, we actually have to pay, if we decide to stay those nights, we actually have to pay full price, you know, for the hotel for the last one or two nights.
Wow.
So people might keep that in mind, particularly if they want to stay at the, you know, at the main hotel. It's apparently filling up at least a block of rooms, you know, that's been reserved for us.
Yeah, I made my reservations several months ago, and I had a very funny thing happen, and I'm the name is now going to slip my mind, so I'm going to try to tell the story and avoid the name.
Right.
I, you know, we ask for the wheelchair accessible roll-in shower, et cetera,
right,
et cetera. So, and you always have to go through a big lollapalooza about the roll-in shower because you can get a wheelchair accessible guarantee, but you can't always get a roll-in shower guarantee, and we need a roll-in shower for Gary. So on and on this saga goes. Well, so finally they said, okay, yes, all right, and we're gonna transfer you over to something. I forget the department. So this person came on, and I hadn't, you know, said my name, and so this person said, okay, Marlena. And so I thought, well, it must be up on the screen or something. And he's typity, typity, type. He says, okay, we've got it covered. Okay, right, fine. By the way, what are you having on your show this week? Excuse me? Turns out that it's, this is where the name is escaping me, but it is an ACB member and one of the presidents of one of our state affiliates is working. I'm like, whoa, now I feel really good. So,
And he works there at the hotel?
Yeah, for the call center.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So that was pretty cool.
Oh, wow, that is really neat.
That was
it's
pretty cool.
It's a small world.
It really is. It's shocking. Just shocking.
That's really funny. That's a good story. I like that.
I hope you guys arrange a ham dinner.
Oh, you think we should try to do that again?
Yeah, let's try to do it again. I know. Try it again.
Well, maybe we will. Now that you've mentioned it.
Yeah,
because we should arrange a ham dinner again.
Yeah.
Lynn's laughing. We'll have to look into that.
Yeah, we'll give it some thought.
Well, if you promise me you'll come, we'll think about arranging it.
I will do my absolute utmost to be there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we will keep that in mind.
I'd like to do it. I think it'd be fun.
Okay.
We'll get Tom and Daryl and Byron and John Glass and all
those.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll have to check out the hotel and see what we can find out. And if worst comes to worst, if we don't get that done, maybe we can at least hook up with you and Gary.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
All right, take care.
Okay,
bye-bye. Wow, we're thinking about July already. Isn't that just something? 866-666-7926. And we got a call. Let's bring him in. Hi, you're with Marlena. Who's this?
This is Roger.
Roger! Oh, my gosh. How are you?
Okay. Now, I bet you were talking to Jim Yurok from Nebraska.
That's who I was talking to. Thank you. I could remember Jim, but I couldn't remember the last name.
Yeah, Yurok. It's spelled funny. It always says in his email signature, pronounced Yurok. It's spelled with a J, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So you were talking about being with Ronnie. When I worked at Telesensory, I remember we went to a couple of his concerts, and he used to say from the stage, you know, hello to Jim Bliss and all my friends from Telesensory. We'd go backstage, and everybody wanted to talk to him about music, and he wanted to talk to us about computers.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But,
yeah.
And when he used to call me. I mean, Stevie Wonder called a couple times, but when Ronnie called, it was always, he was there, you know, for the duration, and he basically said, you know, how do I do this? And I'd tell him, and he'd say, hey, that's slick, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he was really into the equipment, and of course, he's a ham and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
And, was a lot different. I mean, Stevie usually, one of his staff members was handling things, and, you know, it was basically somebody's coming up to bring my VersaBrail and get it fixed, you know, kind of thing.
Well, I told Ronnie, I said, you know, I've briefly met Stevie. I've invited Stevie on this show numerous times, and it's yet to work out. And
I ran into him at CSUN in the exhibits one time.
Yeah, well, I ran into him last year at CSUN in the exhibits. Yeah. And that's, you know, I mean, I know the guy is busy, and that's fine. I don't mean to cast aspersions onto Stevie Wonder, but I said, you know, I had a dream just a few weeks ago that I was finally meeting you, Ronnie. And the only thing was, every time you opened your mouth, you were Stevie Wonder, not Ronnie Milsa. And I was trying to reconcile. And I woke up, I literally woke up shaking my head like, wait a minute, did this, what happened? Because
well,
they're
the other
so
thing
different.
That happened to me, when I worked at Telesensory, was that I called Ronnie back one time, and he wasn't there. And I talked for about a half an hour with Joyce.
Oh, isn't she delightful?
She was telling me about how they lived in this historic area of Nashville, and that she thought that they'd make him take his ham beam down because it was a great big beam, but it was sort of hidden in the trees. And so,
well, they're very nice people.
I'm glad that you mentioned the oximeter, because I was going to call in and say that I remember when you were taking readings from all of us at the Life Members
That's right.
Reception last year at the convention.
That's right. That's right.
And I hope to live to see you do that again and have it talk to us.
Boy, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Well, I'll bring the oximeter to CSUN and show it to Chris, and along with hopefully a peak flow meter, although I pretty much gave up on that, because it's like, I'm not going to ask somebody four or five times a day to read that for me. So, but I definitely have the oximeter. And I mean, it's just such an area that is so neglected, this whole healthcare accessibility.
Yeah, and I've talked with, I'm trying to get Chris together with a woman named Molly Story that I've talked to, who's doing work with, I think, NSF and so forth, and NIDRR, around accessibility of medical equipment in general.
Why do I know that name, I wonder?
Well, she's been at conventions and things. She's used to be at the North Carolina State University at that Center for Universal Design. Universal
Design.
Oh,
that's why I know it. Okay. That's why I know it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And I happen to be auditing a class at Stanford where they're doing this stuff, and she came and spoke last week, and I got to see her again and reestablish the acquaintance and all that.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I remember when Chris has had this name, Bay Area Digital, for some time. He started a company a long time ago where he was recording, having authors recording their own books on CD. It was called Bay Area Digital.
Oh, I wish
so
I'd known
he
that.
Kept the name,
yeah,
and resurrected it again.
Yeah, and it's in a lovely building. Gary looked at the pictures while Chris was.
Yeah, that's quite interesting.
Describing it, yeah.
They're in the high rent district.
Yeah.
But you must be doing something right.
Listen, we can say we know somebody in the high rent district.
That's right.
There you go. I'd love to go down for the party that he mentioned. I think that would be really fun to do.
Yeah.
But I don't know that that's in my cards.
So is ACB Radio covering anything at the legislative seminar / president's meeting?
Well, we're going to be getting recordings probably from it. We were going to try to do something live, but I have a conflict on the 24th.
Well, we all have conflicts.
Well, yes, but, you know, mine are so pressing. And so I can't get there really much before Sunday evening, and that's kind of a waste, you know, in terms of covering the rest of it. So I think what we'll do is get files and use those. But next year, hopefully, we can cover it live.
Right.
So.
All righty. Well, I'll get off the phone here and let other people babble.
All righty. Well, it's always lovely to babble with you.
Oh, thanks.
Let's babble again soon.
Okay.
Take Bye-bye. Care, Roger. Bye-bye. Bye. Oh, my good friend, Roger Peterson from California, 866-666-7926. Just kind of looking ahead through the month of February, we are still hoping to schedule a date for a show with Eric Weinmeier, the gentleman who climbed Mount Everest and who has now recently written yet another book, which is pretty darned interesting and motivational. We'll also be bringing on Kirk Adams. Who is Kirk Adams, you might ask? Kirk Adams is the next president of the Seattle Lighthouse for the Blind and has some really visionary ideas for directions in which the lighthouse should go. Kirk is also himself a blind person. So let's bring in our caller. Hi there, you're with Marlena. Who's this?
Gosh, Marlena, you get to talk to all these interesting people on your show, don't you?
Even Daryl Shandro.
I know. I know you said it was okay to call back at the second hour.
Absolutely.
So. I have an idea on your your peak flow meter. So,
okay, all right.
I'm surprised that Gary hasn't tried this, actually. It sounds like it's a simple device from what you're describing.
Yes.
So when you blow into that, it's generating a voltage that's pushing the needle up.
Yes.
So probably, anyway, it sounds like it because in being in ham radio, I've seen, you know, other similar types of meters for other things.
Yes.
So if you could just test the voltage, like with a voltmeter or something that could generate a tone.
Well,
I would make that piece of equipment pretty much accessible.
I don't know enough to say whether that would work or that wouldn't work. Maybe Gary can pick up the phone. Let's see if he hears that. It always takes a minute to get into the other room, you know.
Yeah, I guess probably. I would imagine Gary would have thought about that if it would work.
He's saying, why don't you pick up the phone? Instead of yelling at me, pick up and talk to Daryl. He's saying that there is no voltage.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah.
Well, it was an idea, darn it.
Yeah, it was a good idea. It was a... Now, see, one of the meters has the needle exposed, you know, so
uh-huh.
you can feel it, but
yeah,
the markings are so close together, and you can't touch the needle. You know, so first what we need to do is develop one for a peak flow meter, develop one with where the markings are further apart, and secondly, where you can lock the needle.
Mm-hmm.
Gary's going to come in and talk to you on the microphone, but you better hurry.
Oh, hey, cool.
It's 6:40. This is live radio at its best. Oh, here he comes. Oh, no, now he's picking up the phone and...
I think I'm on a phone that works here.
There you go.
Sounding good, Gary.
Hi there. Yeah, the peak flow meter is strictly a mechanical device. It has a gadget that you wrap your chops around and you hoof into it as hard as you can, and it runs a little needle up, a little pointer up, and it has two index markers that you can set, one high, one low, and
wow.
for your own references, you can set the indexes. Now, the only thing that I can do is set the indexes between the two points, which are high and low for Marlena, and hope that she can touch the little pointer
without moving
yeah. it, and see where it is in relation to the high and low index. And that just gives her a relative reading of, yeah, I'm sort of in the middle, or I'm sort of low, or I'm sort of high, but she can't read the actual peak flow.
Well, if Chris is listening, it seems like this might be, you know, compared to some of the other stuff, this might be a fairly easy, nothing is easy, of course, but, you know, fairly easily maybe modified piece of equipment. I mean...
Well, this thing is so simple. It's so dumb simple that it's, you know, it's a It's a $2.95 thing. That's $2.95.
Wow.
I'm sure that the medical community gets more than $2.95, but that's about what the parts
right.
cost to build it. And it's just a molded piece of couple of pieces of molded plastic that are glued together with a gadget that allows you to hoof into it and it measures the amount of pressure that you're able to blow over a short period of time to see what your peak flow is.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. But
that would be probably an easy thing, and maybe make it somehow so the needle sticks there for, you know.
Well, if they can do it with
20
hands,
seconds or something,
if they can do it with the hands on a watch, surely they ought to be able to.
Well, yeah, it's one of those things where if they were just able to label the gadget so that you knew what the peak, what the readings were.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that little pointer stopped, make it so that it didn't move around so much. Then it would just be dumb simple. You don't have to have any electronics or anything else. You're just blowing the thing like everybody else does, and then like a mechanical scale, you run your finger off to the edge and they say, oh well, it was 250 or 300 or whatever.
Yeah.
So.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm gonna.
Hey, Marlena, why do you think the talking scales are so inaccurate?
I don't know.
I'm not going. I'm gonna hang up.
Yeah. Hey, Gary. Gary, don't forget to decant the wine.
Well. Ooh, gee whiz.
Yeah. Get out there.
I gotta get out there.
Get
and do
out
that,
there,
man.
Mr. Gary. Producer. All right, you guys. I'm gonna hang up.
Okay, Marlena. Well, thanks for having us on again. And I was hoping I had an idea.
It was a great thought. Just keep on thinking.
All right, Marlena. You have a good night.
All right,
good
take
night,
care.
Everybody.
Bye-bye. 866-666-7926 on the Marlena program where ideas are born. Oh, my goodness gracious. So, let's see, where were we? It's just about 45 minutes past the hour. So we've got time for another one or two calls, and we've got another call. Let's bring them on in. Let's push the right button. Hi there. You're with Marlena. Who's this?
Well, if it isn't Miss Marlena Lieberg, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing just fine, Jesse. How are you?
Pretty good.
I was just
listening in, and I said, oh, let me call Marlena for a second just to see how she's doing and to say hi to all the rest of the people in internet land, as I should say.
And now, were you affected in Florida by that recent tornado?
Well, let me explain to you. It hit, according to what my dad was telling me, it hit in near Deltona, which is more or less somewhere near Daytona, more or less, I think. But it didn't hit nowhere close to me.
Oh, that's good.
It's not close to me at all. It's maybe about a good 5 hours away, 6 hours.
Oh, that's good.
So it wasn't that...
I
heard about it, though.
What a frightening thing, huh?
Yeah, and I was concerned because I have some family that live up near the Palm Coast area. And I was concerned, and when I called them, they're like, no, that hit near Deltona. We weren't affected at all. I'm like, okay, thank God.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I don't know what the death toll was, but I know that several people died. That was quite a thing.
Yep.
So what's going on with you these days? What are you up to?
Oh, nothing much, really. Working, and I've been working, and I got me the Trekker 3.0 with the Maestro.
Ah, you like that?
I like it. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I also went ahead, and a lot of people tell me that they don't know how I do this, but I went on November the 19th, and I went and I got me the new Nintendo system as an early Christmas present. The new Nintendo Wii system that came out.
How accessible is that?
Well, this is the only little quirk that I have with it. The interface that it uses, Marlena, is what Nintendo calls their Wii channel interface. And imagine a grid with tabs. And on those tabs, let's say you have the disc channel, which is where you would load your games, the weather channel, because that also has Wi-Fi connectivity. So you can actually get your weather for anywhere in the world. You can get the news. You can get the internet with a special Opera web browser. None of that is accessible because to get around the interface, you have to physically, with the remote control unit that it comes with, point to the option that you want and click on it. I'm trying to work with Nintendo to see if they can make it where you can navigate it, because it has a D-pad, which is a cross that is on the, kind of like what the Pac-Mate had, where it's like a cross. You have that, and I'm trying to work with these people so that they can make it accessible via the cross so that you can at least get to the menus, to the different menus, just by either counting the clicks or something. One advantage it has is that it rumbles as you come across an option, so you know that you're pointing at something and not just pointing in space.
Oh, but you don't know what you're pointing at.
No, I've learned the screen more or less, so I kind of know where the options are a little bit. But it's a really good system. The gameplay is very unique. Because, like, for instance, let's say that you were playing a baseball game. You'd actually hear the pitch coming towards you. And you would physically have to swing the controller as if it were a bat. Now, keep in mind that the controller is wireless via Bluetooth. So you're standing about maybe a good 6 feet away. It's really good. I've actually played already a couple games. I'm subscribed to a service called Gamefly, which is kind of like Netflix, but for video games. And I think it's the best investment because only within the last 2 months alone, I've already rented about, what, like six games?
So, and most of these games, then, you can, as a blind person, you can play them on the Wii?
Most of them, because once you get into the game, you can navigate around the menus with the D-pad, and if you have to do any motions at all, they are related to the game. Like, like for example, I was playing a game the other day called Red Steel, where it's a shooting game, and you physically have to point on the screen. And one of the things I like about these new systems now is that due to surround sound technology, it is really good. I mean, since it's running off of a DVD, it's pretty consistent. It's really good. One of these days, I might get on your show one day and talk a little bit more about it because it's really interesting.
Well, yeah. Or why don't you send an email to mainmenu@acbradio.org?
I was talking to Jeff about that.
Yeah.
One day, and I might do a review for Main Menu. Hopefully I'll get me a Sound Blaster sound card for my laptop, because what I wanted to do is I wanted to make a much clearer audio from the system itself. But it's really good. I think that Gary would like it if he were to get a hold of one, because they have a lot of different things. They're coming out now with a, miraculously, they're coming out with, and I don't know how they're going to do this, they're coming out with a cooking game for the system,
gosh,
which I don't know how this is going to work. They're coming out with a boxing game, I believe. They have a football game for it.
Well, it's nice that these games seem to require some physical activity,
mm-hmm,
so that you're not just sitting there like,
no,
a, you know.
And I think that what Nintendo's trying to do is they're trying to emphasize, hey, you know, it's a gaming system, but, you know, have fun, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And they are going to have online playability.
Great.
So there is going to be an online aspect. But I was calling, you know, to see how you guys were doing and such, and I heard on, what the heck was it, on the last Marlena show about your Ronnie Millsap meeting.
That was great.
That must have been really nice.
Well, listen, you know what? I'm going to let you run, and,
okay,
and we're
all right,
almost at the end of the show, but let's see if we can squeeze in one caller. If they're skinny, we can get them in.
All right,
all right, you take care, Jesse. It's always wonderful to hear from you.
Okay.
Okay.
Say hi to Gary for me, okay?
You've just done it yourself. He's listening.
All right.
All right, you take care.
Guys.
All right. Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. And, if we get a call within the next minute or so, we can squeeze you in here before the program ends. Once again, next week, we will be bringing to the program Paul Nugent from the UK in our first hour. And Paul is going to talk with us about reincarnation, meditation, and let's get this caller in real quick. Hi, you're with Marlena. Who's this?
Hi, this is Melody.
Hi, Melody. Where are you calling from?
Bradenton, Florida. I'm a first-time caller.
Well, welcome to the show. It's lovely to have you.
Thank you. I'm a little nervous.
don't be nervous. We're almost out of time, but tell me what's on your mind.
Well, I just wanted to let you know I enjoyed your meeting with Ronnie Millsap.
Oh.
And are you gonna put up the rest of the files?
Yeah, I'll be getting them together as a podcast, and then I'll let people know how to get that.
Okay.
And of course, Ronnie will be on the show this year live.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I really enjoy your show, and you always talk about meeting Ronnie. I'd like to meet you.
Oh my gosh.
I just think you're wonderful. I mean, I admire you so much.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much. And you know, I say this in when I receive email from people and they say, you know, gosh, I admire you, or, you know, you helped me with this, that, or the next thing. And I really feel, I get chills when someone says something like that to me, because it just means so much to me, and I really mean that. I every week before I do this show, I think, oh my God, what if no one's listening?
Oh no, so, everybody's listening.
Oh, thank
but,
you.
Yeah, my son has asthma, so I know what people go through with that. I mean, it's actually a neat situation because I adopted him. He's my grandson, but now he's my son.
Ah.
So he calls me his Nana Mom.
Oh, how old is he?
He's 9 now, but I've had him ever since he was 3 days old.
Wow.
So he had chronic asthma. Unfortunately, he was a drug baby, but
oh,
we got him through all the good stuff, you know.
Boy, what a strong person you are. What a wonderful person you are. I want to meet you.
But I just wanted you to know how much I enjoy your show.
Well, thank you so much. I hope you'll call again.
Oh, I will.
Yeah,
I don't
be nervous. Heck, it's just me. We're just in the living room, you know. You know, you hear all the mistakes I make, so hey, don't worry about it.
Okay.
No biggie. All right. Well, you take care and stay safe in your crazy Florida weather.
Yeah, it was crazy because we're not used to getting tornadoes. I mean, we did get bad lightning and thunder and a lot of rain, but that was it, you know.
Well,
we don't like the tornadoes. We can live with the hurricanes, but
yeah,
not
but
the
not
tornadoes.
The tornadoes. Yeah, yeah.
All righty. Well, you take care and thank you.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I'll talk to you anytime. Just give me a call.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, I think that's going to wrap it up. What a wonderful note on which to wrap it up. I love hearing from the, you know, those of you who call weekly or, you know, every couple of weeks or whatever. I love that. But when I hear from someone new, oh, it just really just makes me feel so good. And so for anyone who is new, you haven't called, don't be nervous. For Pete's sakes, I'm not a professional at this. I do this show because I love it, and I do this show because I firmly believe that blind people need an avenue to just talk about stuff and learn about stuff. So next week, we'll do reincarnation. We'll then reveal some new programming coming on to ACB Radio Mainstream. See you then. You've been listening to the Marlena program, heard this time each week at the Mainstream on ACB Radio. I hope you'll come back again next week and join me. And in the meantime, if you've got an idea for a program you'd like us to air or a guest you'd like us to invite to the show, why not drop me an email? My email address is Marlena. That's spelled M-A-R-L-A-I-N-A at acbradio.org. It has been a joy to have been with you this week. And I want to thank the people that helped make it all possible. They include Chrissy Cochran in the UK, the ACB Radio team from Australia to Arizona, and of course, Gary the board guy in the other room. Without them, the show wouldn't be possible. So do come back again next week, same time, same place, right here at the Mainstream on ACB Radio. Till then, have a great week. And we'll talk to you soon.